Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're studying Genesis. We're in chapter 21. Genesis 21, this is God's Word. The Lord came to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time God had told him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son mocking, the one Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, "Drive out this slave with her son. The son of this slave will not be a co-heir with my son Isaac." This was very distressing to Abraham because of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy and about your slave. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac. And I will also make a nation of the slave's son, because he is your offspring." Early in the morning, Abraham got up, took bread and a water skin, put them on Hagar's shoulders, and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes and went and sat at a distance, about a bow shot away, for she said, "I can't bear to watch the boy die." While she sat at a distance, she wept loudly. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. He settled in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. At that time, Abimelech, accompanied by Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do. Swear to me by God, here and now, that you will not break an agreement with me or with my children and descendants. As I have been loyal to you, so you will be loyal to me and to the country where you are a resident alien." And Abraham said, "I swear it." But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well that Abimelech's servants had seized. Abimelech replied, "I don't know who did this thing. You didn't report anything to me, so I hadn't heard about it until today." Abraham took flocks and herds and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Abraham separated 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech said to Abraham, "Why have you separated these 7 ewe lambs? He replied, "You are to accept the seven ewe lambs from me, so that this act will serve as my witness that I dug this well." Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, because it was there that the two of them swore an oath. After they had made a covenant at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, left and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham lived as an alien in the land of the Philistines for many days. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The chapter divisions were added later. Bishop Usher did us the favor of going through and making divisions in the text where he thought appropriate. Generally did a good job. I'm not as sure about this chapter, because it seems to me when I read this that there's one thing that stands out above all the rest, and that is you got a 90-year-old woman giving birth to a miracle baby, and they name him Laughter, and he grows up and becomes the heir through whom we receive salvation. Now, that to me is the headliner. I mean, that's the really big thing. What is surprising to me is that if you look at the amount of text devoted, there's been a whole lot of verses pointing to that. This is going to happen. God promises this is going to happen. This is going to happen. It really is going to happen. It's going to happen in about a year. And now it happens. And we just kind of quickly move on. I mean, I would want major press coverage of this event. I would want this to be the huge focus, and we'd go on, and the news cycle would just keep talking about Isaac. Well, Isaac's going to get more press later, but here we're just told he's born right when God said, just as God promised. It's a miracle. He's named Laughter. That's what Isaac means. And now we move on to other things. After a while, he's weaned, and Abraham throws a great feast, and soon there's trouble in the household. Because when they're having this party for the little duffer, isn't he adorable? Just so cute. Laughter, that's a good name for him, I think. That's just wonderful. There's somebody who's not happy. It's older brother. He has an older brother. It's a divided family. Not the same mother, same dad, but two different moms. This boy's older. His mom's a slave. She doesn't have at all the same status in the household as the new kid's mom. The new kid is very much the prince. The older boy is the other brother. And so he's over to the side mocking the little boy. Yeah, he's cute, all right. And Sarah goes ballistic. She is furious. And she comes to Abraham and she says, they are not part of our family. Her son is not going to inherit along with mine. They're not going to share. Isaac is not going to play with his toys that he's outgrown. We're going to get new toys for Isaac. Okay? Ishmael and his mom have got to go. Now, there is no indication that Abraham felt especially close to Hagar, the boy's mother. But there is repeated indication that Abraham loved Ishmael. He really cared about him. So he's distressed because this is his son. And back before Isaac was born, when God was repeating the promise that he'd made before that Abraham's going to have a son with Sarah, Abraham didn't say, oh, good. He said, what about Ishmael? Oh, that Ishmael could live before you. I really want good things for Ishmael. But Sarah says, they got to go. So he goes to God when this is happening, and he says, what am I supposed to do? I'm heartbroken about this. I don't like this scenario at all. And brace yourselves, because, I mean, if I'm God, I'd say, you need to deal with your wife, okay? She was the one who suggested the whole thing with Hagar. That was on her. I know she's tried to blame you, but you need to remind her. She's the one who set that whole thing up. Now she's got to learn to live with the consequences. That's just the way life is, okay? So tell her that she's acting really badly. We just gave a party for Isaac. There's going to be plenty to go around. I'm a very rich man. I've only got two sons. It's all going to be fine, okay? I can give a double portion to the younger son, which would be the reverse of normal procedure. But because Isaac is your son, he'll get the double portion. How's that, babe? Okay? I mean, that's, as I've said before, God has never asked me to consult. But if I were advising God, that would be my advice. And I think it's really good advice. Unless God says something different, which he did. Amazingly, God said, do not be distressed about the boy and about your slave. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her. What? You got to be kidding. Listen to my wife when she's being unreasonable? Yeah. Listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac. But that's not the end of the sentence. Your offspring will be traced through Isaac, and I will also make a nation of the slave's son because he is your offspring. Not because he's cute, not because he has good character. I've already said earlier he's going to be a jackass of a man. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Okay? But God says, because he's your son, I'm going to make a nation out of him. Just ponder the fact that God is the one who makes nations. Okay? He doesn't say, because he has tremendous potential. He has a keen intellect. He may be the son of a slave, but I'm telling you that boy has talent, and I think he's going to make great things of himself. No. God says, I'll make a nation out of him. Because he's your son. If you accomplish anything of significance, you better give God all the praise.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
God says, I'm going to make a nation out of your son Ishmael. I'll do it. And of course, God did it. And today, there are still problems in the Middle East because instead of waiting on the Lord to provide, Abraham and Sarah tried to create a shortcut, tried to find a way to make things happen. God's not doing what he promised, but I bet we can make it happen. Always a bad move. And yet God, instead of smiting them, went ahead and let them do their thing and then said, okay, now watch what I can do. And years later, fulfilled his promise in a miraculous way and gave them a child named Isaac. So, Abraham, early in the morning, verse 14, got up, took bread and a water skin, put them on Hagar's shoulders, and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness. And eventually, her resources ran out. I don't know why the son was dying faster than the mother. At this point, he should have been in his teens. Maybe he was, like a lot of teenagers I know, running around as they walked along through the wilderness. You know, Ishmael, come back! You know, I'll be back in a minute. I see something over here. Whatever the reason, he tuckered out before she did. And he is absolutely dehydrated. And he's facing death. You can die in the wilderness, you know. This literally was a matter of life and death. And so his mom, in despair, puts him underneath a bush. And she goes at a distance because she can't stand to be right next to him as he's dying. I mean, we could do all kinds of things about family dynamics and how people deal with grief and saying goodbye to loved ones who are terminal and all that kind of stuff. That's all represented here. Because not everybody deals with that the same way. She goes about a bow shot away and she cries loudly. And the Bible says, the Lord heard the boy cry. It's not about our volume. Okay? She's going, "Whoa!" And the boy is kind of whimpering, and God hears the whimper. Now, does that mean God didn't hear her? No, it means God hears us even when our cries are muffled. Even when our tears come from a silent face, God sees our tears. God knows what's going on. Jesus said he knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. Don't ever think that God doesn't see your grief. Don't ever think that God doesn't care about what's going on in your life. God knows the details. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from his notice. And so she cries loudly. God hears the child. Amazing. Amazing. And then the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is." To me, that's one of the sweetest things. Then he says, "Get up, help the boy up, grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation." God is now giving her the same promise that he had given to Abraham. I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well. It was there all along. God's provision was right there. It doesn't say, I will make a well. It says God opened her eyes to see the well. And so she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy. And he grew. He became an archer, settled in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. She was an Egyptian, remember? And it says his mother got a wife for him. I just want you to let that sink in, because some of you feel like that would just be the most dreadful thing in the world, okay? I mean, you're supposed to fall in love because you see someone. We will see this pattern repeated over and over where somebody else has to go and find a spouse. Those of us in America think that is the most ludicrous thing. Shocker, here it is. Ready? Most marriages throughout most of human history have been arranged marriages. We're the blip on the screen, okay? We're the unusual culture that says, No, you're supposed to see something that excites you. And then when you feel something really wonderful rumbling inside and your heart goes pitter-patter, then you know this is true love and that is a basis for a marriage. If you look at statistics, the American approach to romance and marriage hasn't been all that great, okay? Because the problem with operating on the basis of making life commitments because you see something you like is that after you are married, you may see something you like over here. And if you think that is the great determiner of whether or not we're supposed to be together, the Primus children loved my rendition of "Hello, I Love You, Won't You Tell Me Your Name?" Okay. That was the song when I was a teenager. Talk about stupid lyrics. But it really epitomized the approach in our culture. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? But his mom went and got him a wife from the land of Egypt. At that time, Abimelech, accompanied by Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God's with you in everything you do. Here's a guy who clearly can see that God is at work in Abraham's life. He says, swear to me, my God, here and now, that you will not break an agreement with me or my children and descendants. As I've been loyal to you, so you will be loyal to me and to the country where you are a resident alien. Let me just summarize it this way. The blessing of God on Abraham's life was so conspicuous that it made other people nervous. Okay? It was so clear, so unmistakable. Sometimes God's blessing on a person's life is so evident, so conspicuous, that it frightens other people. And if you walk with God the way you should, there will be people in your family and your sphere of influence who will be uncomfortable with it. God is not only real, he's knowable. You can have a personal relationship with him that'll change everything. Because Jesus died on the cross to open the way into the presence of God. When Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And now, because of God's grace, not on the basis of anything we've done, but on the basis of what Jesus did, we can have direct access to Almighty God. Don't just play at religion. Don't just embrace a series of truths. Run to Jesus and let him embrace you. Cry out to him for mercy. Ask him to not only forgive you, but transform you. Yield your life to him. So, Abraham says, okay, I'll make a treaty with you, but I really wish we could get that well back. Abimelech says, what are you talking about? I didn't know anything about a well. And he says, well, yeah. So Abimelech says, we'll give it back to you. Abraham says, well, I want to give you something because I want us to have a clear indication of the agreement that we've reached. He replied, you are to accept the 7 ewe lambs from me so that this act will serve as my witness that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, which means well of the oath, because it was there that the two of them swore an oath. And after they'd made a covenant at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, left and returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham lived as an alien in the land of the Philistines many days. One of the things we see over and over wherever Abraham goes is that he wants to have a special place set apart for the worship of God. God is everywhere. If I ascend into the mountain, you're there. If I go down to the depths of the sea, you're there. Wherever we go, God is there. But it is good to have a place set apart for worship. It doesn't make that place spooky. It's just a place where we're reminded that right now, right here, everything else is set aside, and we're going to focus on worshiping God. It's why we're building the chapel. We believe it's good to have a place set apart for worship. But don't just say, well, then I guess from now on, if I want to talk to God, I'm going to have to go down to the chapel. No. Abraham had multiple places that he set apart for the purpose of worship. I hope you'll do that in your room, in your home, in a corner of your office, wherever it may be. Set aside a place where you are reminded, I need to worship the Lord, and then worship him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web
at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.